I'm Blair Sanderson.
And I'm Ken McIntosh.
And this is the Surf Fantasy Podcast.
We're back.
No treachery, really. So I'd be surprised if we get it, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, CJ Hobgood tactically surfs a great round five heat. And he makes his way in now. Waiting on the numbers to come through for John John. 2.93. Not enough. And it is going to be CJ Hobgood rolling on through.
All right, so we are back. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you, man. It's good to be back. And oh, how far we've come listening to that open audio.
That's right. And we have come so far because we've had a bit of an absence.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we want to get right into it, but it has been. I mean, we missed Trestles, we missed France, we missed Portugal.
No, we didn't. Did we miss three contests?
Dude, I think we missed Trestles as well.
I think we teed up Trestles and then missed France and Portugal.
I think you're right.
Right.
But
so that's two. So I would say technically we're two podcasts behind.
That actually makes me feel a little better.
Does it?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, two podcasts behind. That's fine.
Yeah.
Should we tell the listeners why? Because I'll just say it straight up. Is that not enough people are rating and reviewing the show. So we decided to take the podcast and go home.
Yeah, no.
Forget it.
I wish I could blame it on the listeners, however small and mighty they may be. But with me, man, I don't know. I've been trying to figure it out myself. I'm just finding myself a little disinterested in competitive surfing, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's, you know, things that are going on that are having me more busy than usual, or if it's just that my team hasn't been performing that well, or you know, I'm really into the UFC lately. I'm following that, but I'm having trouble getting psyched up for it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. That's funny. I've been getting really into like poker lately and watching like professional poker and trying to like hone my skills there. And it's hard to divert your attention, you know, or divide your attention between different hobbies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so things just have to fall by the wayside.
And I mean, I still love surfing, but it just makes me wonder if, you know, bringing back to that whole, you know, discussion we've had before about is competitive surfing flawed? I mean, if it can't, you know, hold my sort of interest.
Someone who loves surfing, you know, someone who like lives near a surf break and, you know, has built a life around surfing to a certain degree.
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely.
And yet, yeah, sometimes these contests. The thing is, too, is that so was it really that you just weren't tuning into the contest?
Yeah, I mean, I it's the longest stretch I've gone where I haven't, I could say, watched more than a couple minutes of it live. I mean, I was doing the catch up at night. You know, on the heat analyzer.
The catch-up isn't as fun either, eh?
Like, it's not as fun, and I think that sort of almost doubles down on my lack of interest. Because you, I mean, you lose
the excitement.
You know, the excitement and the, like, uncertainty of watching it live. And then, frankly, just to watch the top scores back on the heat analyzer, you know, with the exception of a few waves, and I know we're going to get into some of them later, I mean, the level of contest surfing, when you look at a whole contest, you know, when you're looking at all those early heats and you're looking at the sixes and the fives, I mean, with the limited amount of time I have now, I'd almost rather just put on a surf video.
Yeah.
And there's been some incredible surf videos out lately that I wouldn't mind chatting about, too. Like, I mean, well, the obvious one is I've watched all of the segments in John John's new series that he's done together with Hurley, I believe.
What, the 12
series? Yeah, the 12 series. Yeah. And that's been amazing, you know, like mind-blowing. I love the segment where he's sailing. You know, and the surfing in it's so strong, but the amount of enjoyment I get out of that compared to watching Heat Analyzer, you can't even compare it.
Do you actually watch the Heat Analyzer where you're like scrolling through, you know, where that you can just click on where the wave starts and all of that? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Or do you do the watch replay, which is just the heavily cut?
No,
you know,
I'll do Heat Analyzer because in the heats that I find interesting, I like to just let it roll. So I'm not just clicking on the top scores.
Oh, I see. So you'll watch a full heat then?
Well, but not even a full heat. Like I might watch, you know, if there's a cluster of like strong waves, maybe I'll watch that and I'll watch an interview. But I still like to get a bit of a taste for the commentary but it hasn't been doing it for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it too. I mean, imagine there was another dramatic live event that just happened, the U.S. election, right?
Yeah.
And so imagine, though, if you missed it for whatever reason, though, but the next day you're like, oh, well, I'm going to watch the results come in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that you recorded that whole evening and then just started watching it again. It wouldn't be nearly the same because you know the outcome, you know, so watching this state flip back and forth, you know, like that just isn't the same.
But it's an interesting idea, actually, when you think of it like that, because I'm wondering if just, I mean, this is getting into what Blair and I do for a living, but just thinking of the idea of taking a live stream, like if you had a whole night of election coverage and then actually marking on a timeline those key points so the viewer could right. see them, would that be a more interesting way to
watch absorb it?
Yeah, yeah. As opposed to putting raw video clips online where, you know, this is the Trump speech. This is, you know, perhaps the moment that, you know, we realized Ohio and Florida.
Yeah, yeah, fell. Yeah, 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 yeah. Right. So every time. So basically put the whole night up.
Yeah.
And then on it put little stars where this is where we called Florida. This is where we called this. Yeah. This is like where it flipped. It didn't flip. Yeah. I think that
so
would
people
be a
could
good
find
one.
Those clusters of interesting sections.
Yeah, right, and scroll through to what they want to see rather than whatever else that they do in terms of packaging it post.
I'm definitely going to bring that up in a managing
that
meeting.
That is an interesting, you know, because when you think about it, I don't know what other kinds of events or sports do that with that heat analyzer format. So that is interesting. Maybe broadcast news could learn something.
Yeah.
From the WSL.
God, I never thought that day would come, but there you go. So we're breaking new ground.
It's a good broadcast.
Yeah.
I'll also just say though, do we need to? I almost feel that I have forgotten to say that this is the Surf Fantasy Podcast.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, it's been so long since we've been gone, people might forget. But yeah, right. Surf Fantasy Podcast. We're all about checking out fantasy surfing. We like to do a little betting on it. We like to pick our teams. We use the Surfer Mag.com, fantasysurfer.com contest, as opposed to the WSL contest, which if I haven't wrapped my head around at this point, I'm certainly not going to start.
It's a view of surfing through the lens of fantasy surfing.
It's true.
That's the tagline
that Blair came up with, and we're sticking with it. I feel like we have to acknowledge that we have the world champ now. I mean, we've missed so much, it's hard to know where
to begin. Well, that's why played that clip at the very top.
Exactly.
Right.
Because that's last year, John obviously, Pipeline arguably starting what many said was going to be this serious run that he took at the title.
Yeah.
A few, potholes along the way that he hit, but he did it,
Yeah, he did.
And good on him. How much better do you feel to have John as a world champ compared to last year? And I remember us being down here talking Adriano.
And I remember saying, I was happy because he catapulted my fantasy,
Yeah, success. I mean, we'll get into how we've done, but I mean, results aside, compare how you felt with having this sort of working class Adriano winning to how you feel having John, which has some of those elements.
I feel the same, man. I feel the same, quite frankly. Really? I don't know. I don't know.
You're not invested in John as a person.
I'm not invested in John. And I'm not also invested in that 12 series either, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like that. I think that there's just too, like to me, it makes me kind of want to barf a little bit all of the glorification of John, that is just at every turn, they have nothing but amazing things to say about him. And after a while, I'm like, look, this is no longer a man, he's a god in the eyes of the WSL, and I just find that to be it's a little over the top.
I mean, he's so great. Like, they named him twice.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know why he's named that? By the way,
I don't.
It's after John Kennedy. Apparently, his mother was quite moved when at the funeral for John F. Kennedy, when John, he's like really little and he salutes the casket.
Yes,
of his father
I know
going
the image.
By,
yeah.
With like a watch that's a little oversized and it's kind of dangling from his wrist.
I know the
like
image.
That. Picture this, listeners. Anyway, that was John Kennedy, I guess is what his name was. John is how he's known. And I guess around that time, John was born, and that's why he is named that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a soft spot for John because he's. He represents, I think, what I like in surfing is that he doesn't strike me like the sort of Southern California, golden spoon Grom, because I know enough about, where he came from. Like, his mother, he doesn't have a wife, single mom moving to Hawaii, sort of being brought under the wing of all these locals.
Right.
Living in a small house with his brothers. He's very humble, he seems. I mean, I'm sure. Like anyone, he has his moments, but he doesn't claim, he is trying to push performance. I mean, you could argue he ratcheted that back slightly this year, at least in competition to get the win.
Yeah.
But, I think it's the first time I would say in a few years that you could argue the world's best surfer really is the world champ.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not just like, the thing is that I take nothing away from his surfing. I totally agree that he's the best surfer in the world. But yeah, I just almost, I like my heroes flawed. a little bit, you know what I mean? And think about, too, I mean, like, you know, so he would almost be like a Superman type, you know what I mean? Just clean cut, very wholesome. These days, you know, we like a Batman figure, you know what I mean? Someone that has
a darker
edge. Yeah, a little darker edge, right? And so, but, you know, that's just my taste in professional service, I guess.
Yeah, and who really knows what's going on behind the scenes? I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was John, they had a birthday party for him, and it was... It was definitely on the North Shore. I don't know when his birthday is, so I forget what season it was. But it was a big do. They had it outside, and Stab magazine sent their photographer in. And apparently he had permission from John and his friends to shoot the event. The birthday party. And there were some, you know, drunken scenes with John with, you know, more than a couple ladies around him. And there's a bit of backlash from some of the Hawaiian surf community that I think were trying to maintain this squeaky clean image of him.
Yeah.
And it was quickly taken down. So I can't help but wonder. I mean, I hope he's having a little bit more fun than perhaps the surf media wants to show.
Yeah.
I know I would be.
What's interesting, just not to finish off on John, we could probably do the whole thing on John, but at the same time, too, I feel like there's been so much discussed about him, I don't know exactly what else we could add, but it is interesting that he was 14th. Like that, so that clip that I played, you know, was of him losing in round 4 and, you know, landing in the 14th spot last year.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember even last year, we discussed at length how we don't put him on our team quite often because he doesn't deliver results.
It's true.
And it's just amazing that now, I don't know, like even for Pipe, I'm probably going to keep him on.
He's definitely on my team for Pipe. What I'll be interested to see now is this, you know, he wanted to be world champ and now he's done it. And he can just go back to what perhaps he really likes, which is, you know, pushing performance, free surfing, you know, surfing the best waves in the world. Or is this the start of some sort of run or perhaps some sort of rivalry where we see him and, you know, him and Gabrielle and a few people trade titles over the years? I mean, I was reading a couple of days ago that he does feel that he still has some unfinished business and really wants to win Pipeline specifically.
Right.
Because while he's won Pipeline in the past, he's never won, I believe this is still correct, never won the WSL Pipeline contest.
Okay.
Interesting. So,
it'd be a good goal to win every event in the WSL.
Yeah, I think.
Like over your career.
I feel like Slater is missing one.
It's an interesting bit of trivia.
Yeah, we could look it
up. Yeah, which contest has he never won? Yeah, you know what?
I bet there's more than one. Well, I mean, I think if you're looking at the ones that are presently on tour
right. That's
now.
That's right, because some may not have been around for very long.
Yeah,
right?
But the ones that came and went, I think he won all those as well. If I remember correctly, I think it might be like Portugal.
Yeah.
But I don't know for sure.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because he skipped the European leg a few years when he was sort of half in it.
Yeah.
And have you been following what he's planning to do for the next year?
Yeah. And it's also, and everybody's trying to parse out the language, right?
I think people are reading too much into it.
Yeah, that it's his final year.
Yeah.
Well, what was it though? Is it, he said, I'm going to give it one more shot.
Yeah. He said, you know, he was inspired. He was going to get his body together, like heal with the injuries and give it one more shot for the next year.
Yeah. I've had arguments with people about this on other subjects of what it means to say, like, for instance, like if you are at a bar and you say barkeep one more, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like that means
one
it's your
more.
Last
it
one.
Doesn't mean it's your last.
Yeah, I think so. Like if I say I'm going to have one more.
I'd say you need just in
one,
there.
The just one
yeah,
more?
I'm just going to have one more.
I'm going to have one more.
Yeah, which is like assuring them that like, I know I'm already a little drunk.
Because if you just want one more, you should say I'm going to have, like, because if you're
I'm
not
going
sure,
to have another.
Another, yeah. Exactly, right? Like, you know what I mean? Because Kelly Slater could have said like, I'm going to give it another shot.
Yeah. And I mean, it's Slater. I like the argument. And I
one
don't know
more
who...
to me, I don't know. This is funny because we fall on opposite interpretations because I do interpret one more to mean last.
Yeah. You can see it through another lens too, where people were talking about, is this just Slater whose ego can't allow him to not try to take center stage in other people's moments.
Oh,
thinking
right.
back
with
to like last
pool.
Year after Adriano and dropping the wave pole, also referencing, and this is a bit
that's
he is close to Mick Fanning, but referencing the Mick Fanning shark attack from a year ago where Kelly Slater sort of inserted himself into that live coverage with hugging and all this. So arguing that, you know, and even the fact that despite, I mean, he has a close relationship with John. I mean, they're next door neighbors on the North Shore, you know?
Yeah.
So I get the idea that he would stick around at the contest having been eliminated.
A big deal was made of
part
that
of
too.
That
like,
moment.
Isn't it great that she kind of, that's like
yeah,
showed
it's like
up,
passing
like,
the torch, all that. Yeah. I mean, some people still think Kelly Slater's his father.
Right.
I can't help but wonder if maybe there is a little bit of that. Like maybe Kelly Slater.
Father figure.
No. Well, no, some people actually suspect
that Kelly
Slater.
No, I know, but that's not what you think, though.
Oh, no, that's not what I think. Okay. And I don't even think that he's a father figure. I think you could make an argument that Kelly Slater, you know, being the first person to really, if you look back through his whole history, market himself. And even though he's, like, talked about, like, the Baywatch thing, what didn't turn out like he wanted. But he's been, I mean, arguably the most successful surf marketer.
Oh, yeah.
How much he had to do with it, it's up for debate. But given that, you know, he's still got this clothing line out, launching the new wave pool business. I mean, is it just smart marketing to be there to, because you, then you are part of it. You are part of the live stream.
Yeah.
You keep your face in the news and you have a chance to say, you know, I'll be back next year. And then you steal some headlines.
Yeah. I like this idea that he just wants the, like, and he probably even like isn't consciously doing it, you know, but that he's just, he'll just kind of make a statement and boom, there it is.
Yeah.
That's almost like a Trump-esque thing to do, you know, like, hey, I'm not getting headlines today.
Yeah. You need to do something.
Open my mouth and like, you know,
everything now has to be filtered through the, I was listening to a podcast on the way here of, about, Trump really. Yeah. I'll give you 3 points on the US election and then we can move on. One, the place where I think Trump got the highest percentage of the vote was Scottsdale, Arizona, which is where I spent my, when we had our first child, I spent my paternity leave because, my mother-in-law had a condo down there. And, I am not surprised at all that is Trump land.
You could feel Trump
land. Oh my God. It's, you know, I love it. I actually really liked it there. It was great hiking.
It was a question mark in the election.
You know, 4 hour drive to Southern California.
All right. Point two.
Yeah. Point two. I'm already forgetting now because I'm just thinking of how much I loved when I was in Scottsdale. But, point two is I read somewhere that the actual Australian bookmakers had Trump as a favorite.
Oh, really?
And just thinking how big, surf gambling is. And we've talked about this in the past that, you know, it was interesting that they had it right. And
that is interesting.
I don't think I remember what the third. Oh, my third point is to me is to talking about me losing interest. Like ordinarily, like babies to bed. I've had some time to like chill at night. Maybe my wife's gone to bed a bit early. I'd find myself Googling fantasy surfing.
Yeah.
At night. I've found myself actually seeking out Trump news at night. If I felt like I wasn't up to date on what ever madness he had got into day.
You know, and that happened to me even like preparing for this show, that I was listening to something else, like a podcast about another subject.
Yeah.
And I really did have to kind of force myself to be like, all right, shut this off and study something to say for the podcast.
Yeah.
It could be too. Yeah. So it's a number of circumstances that are building up toward toward this thing. But anyway, the thing is that, but my point too, though, about
who do you think John voted for?
Well, and
we
and,
all know
and
who did,
yeah, that would be interesting though, like how, because you would think that surfers generally would lean left, but the thing is they also may have, you know, sort of wild
Slater
ideas.
Definitely voted for that crazy third party candidate.
Oh, you think so? Libertarianism, quite interesting. But anyway, the thing is that, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, but so with my point though about like still being interested in the election results after the winner was declared, this is why fantasy is important to surfing, because the winner's been declared in the WSL and there's still more to do. And so really the people who will pay attention to Pipe, I'm not saying that it's not an uninteresting event, or that I'm not saying it isn't an uninteresting event, but you know, if you are playing fantasy, you still will pay attention to Pipe for that reason. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And not just pay attention to Pipe, but really pay attention to the whole Hawaiian leg. Because I mean, that's the, as you move to Hawaii, that becomes the next story, is who's going to make the world tour for the following year, because you have these big QS events. You know, you have Haleiwa. I can never say that right. You have Sunset.
Haleiwa.
Yeah. You have Sunset, which I can pronounce. And then you have Pipeline.
Right.
And, you know, for people that are on the bubble.
Is Haleiwa in Oahu?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all in. So if I understand this correctly, Oahu's the island.
Yeah.
Which has like the capital of Honolulu on it.
Yeah.
And the north shore of Oahu is where you have Sunset, Pipe,
right?
You know, Rocky Point.
And where's Piahi then, which is going on right now?
That's Maui.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, is going on literally as we, like, before I came here, I was watching some of those big waves and it looked good. It didn't look quite as big as last year, but last year was like they set the bar so high.
Yeah. I really, it's almost my first dip of the toe into like,
really?
At least into live big wave surfing.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody has seen, you know, big wave
clips, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's what's on my Facebook. Like, even people who don't pay attention to surfing, that's what they see.
Jaws is
that's
incredible, too, because it's actually, there's a lot of waves.
Piahi, man. Come on, respect.
Respect who?
I tried to look up
your Ohana.
So you're saying so? Yeah, because Piahi. Yeah, I looked up what does Piahi mean? I couldn't find anything. I just tried doing that in the last, you know, because maybe it meant like, you know, wave of death or something.
But yeah, I'm trying. I'm probably gonna get it confused with Chopu, but because I think Chopu is like bones reef or anyway, I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's wrong. But it's something like that. But yeah, I mean, I call it Jaws because
we should call it Bones Reef.
Actually, I want them to rename Haleiwa as well, something I can pronounce like Jaws. Right. Maybe I'll just call everything I can't pronounce in Hawaii Jaws.
There you go. So yeah. So you're a Trump voter too. You want to turn everything back to the white man pronunciation.
Hey, I'm not touching that.
Anyway, yeah. So yeah, so the Piahi is going on right now. Exciting times. Yeah, I mean,
there's a few WSL surfers in it. The heat I watched before I took the long drive in. Yeah, Josh Kerr using heat strategy.
Yeah,
like not really waiting for the big bomb, but that's what's different too. I mean, as you're just dipping your toe, you know, in the big wave contest, watching. A reason I often wouldn't watch big wave contests when you have them at a place like Todos Santos, even Puerto Escondido, sometimes the contest there, the one they had down in Chile, is like super long lulls.
Yeah.
Which for a contest is just makes what is arguably difficult to pay attention to.
The banter becomes everything, right?
Yeah. But like there were almost constant waves coming through at Piahi today. So
you know what it is too. You know what it is too, though. The lulls. I mean, the thing is, if there really is no wave, I mean, in between, that's not good. But just watching lines, like even if they're not big enough for them to actually pick up and ride, just watching lines come through the screen, there's something about it in my head that just triggers like,
you know what?
I like this.
This is getting back to my like trying to figure out why I've been less interested. But in the past, where I would enjoy watching a contest just to see tropical beach.
Right.
And look at the ocean, and that would make me feel good.
Yeah.
I think I've like turned a corner in my life now where I get less satisfaction out of that, and it actually makes me feel bad because I know like I'm not going to be able to actually do that except for, you know, the 3 or 4 weeks of vacation, which I'm lucky to get. I know a lot of people don't get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I'm planning a trip for Barbados in January.
And back to Barbados.
Yeah, man. Killer. It's a simple trip, and, you know.
Same spot, the whole thing? You're just
going to
redo
it? I'm going back to the exact same spot.
That's the way to do it, right? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? You've got it dialed in.
I almost went to Hawaii because there was a seat sale on that could get you a ticket from the East Coast of Canada to Hawaii for under $500
Canadian. You should do it. This could be a podcast.
But the thing is, I don't think my kid's old enough to enjoy it. Like, it's not like he can be, like, getting pushed into waves at Waikiki or, you know, snorkeling with the turtles yet. So I think, and given that it's, you know, 18-hour, you know, a 3-hour flight than a 15-hour flight from Toronto to there, if I remember that correctly. I just think it's a trip we'll do, but just not, I'd rather do 6 hours down to Barbados and be there, you know,
for sure. Yeah, the other thing too is that you're not surfing yourself a lot lately, and that could also be part of it.
I know. Anyway, I feel like this is like a therapy session. Anyway,
hey, you know what I'll do then? I'll just totally switch gears, man, because you know, this is the Surf Fantasy Podcast, and we have people to talk about. And so I'm going to update you on who in our club, which is up to 40 people right now, by the way. Yeah, man. And
Thanks for being more committed than I am.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But you know what's funny, too? Like, I almost wanted to post something on, like, the clubhouse, be like, hey, guys, we're just on a little hiatus or whatever. But it's like, you know, when you haven't called your grandma in a long time, and then you just don't want to do it.
Oh, I mean, you've accused me of ducking you at work.
No, well, you have. So here we go, man. At the Portugal contest, a guy named Mad Pirate with a score of 1,095, which is pretty darn good, won that contest. So nice. In our clubhouse, Mad Pirate, shout out to you. He, though, is a 16th overall in the clubhouse.
Do you know
itself.
Where we are? I did pretty good in Portugal.
Yeah, I do have you somewhere.
Like,
Ken.
I've been doing decent, but not
Ken, you're
good
15th. So, yeah, you're actually one ahead of Mad Pirate.
Yeah, because I had John, Connor, and Julian in Portugal. So I was just shy of 1,000 points.
Yeah, and I had some. It's funny. You know what I feel like? You know how they always talk about, like, whether a surfer is in rhythm with the waves?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that you're just kind of in that rhythm where you paddle out, the sets come in. Yeah. Whatever. I almost feel like I've been like that with Surf Fantasy this year. Like, for instance, like, I'll think of a guy like Michel Berez, right? That he's done well in several contests and is actually doing okay on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
Like, may have been a good guy to just have had and held the whole time.
Yeah.
Not quite sure about that. But I just basically have been picking him on all of his off contests, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'd see the spark And I'd be like, you know what? I'm putting Perez in. Yeah. And then he'd disappoint. And I was like, what the hell was I thinking? And I'd kick him to the curb. And then the next time.
Do good.
You know what I mean? But the thing is, that's everybody's excuse. Yeah. I'm sure that happens to everybody.
I held on to Wilco too long. I mean, that was the downfall of me this year.
Interesting analysis about Wilco that I was reading on Surf Stats, which I cannot say enough about in terms of Surf Resource when it comes to Surf Fantasy. You know, they were saying, like, it's just that winning the first two was the big problem. I mean, in terms of how he will perceive this year.
Yeah.
Like, if he had been about to fall off the tour and then won the last two contests and ran up in 10 spots, he'd just be like, this is the best ever, you know?
It's true.
But just the way that that all lined up for him, it makes it a huge disappointment.
It's interesting to think about what this year, if anything, did to his sort of brand as it relates to being
a
sponsored
surfer
for Rip Curl.
He's a loser.
Yeah. But also you have to think about the surging nature of Mason Ho, right?
Yeah.
Because when you think about, but I still think Wilco will find his place there. And I think at the when it all shakes down, like the success he had early in the year probably has strengthened his position within like the ranks of the Rip Curl surfers. But especially depending on what Mick goes. Because if Mick sort of falls by the wayside, then there's a lot more room for that sort of funding and attention, I think. But man, like Mason Ho winning the first contest in Hawaii.
Right.
That just wrapped up a couple days ago.
Right.
Like winning it, killing it.
And he's
it,
always, like, he's
hilarious,
always exciting on the tour.
Awesome.
Is
you know?
He, so is he guaranteed on the tour? Like,
oh, no, he's not going to make the tour at all.
Why not?
He doesn't
Why
have a chance.
Because he just doesn't do well in the CT.
Well, he didn't get enough.
The CT in the QS?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he competed. I don't think he ever really mounted a strong campaign in the QS.
Is it possible for him to get like a permanent replacement car, like position?
No, I mean, he could have done what Seabass did
right
this year had he made the most of the few. Like, you know, I think what happens if you, like, he got, you know, he was got a wild card into one contest. I think if he had done really well there, and he might even.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I
it's
feel
like
there's another
I
reason.
Think you sort of need to put like two big wild cards together, and then the WSL is like, Jesus, well, we should keep giving a wild card because
right.
maybe.
But then
get
you do get this like designation of permanent replacement, don't you? Right? Like Seabass was someone else's permanent replacement.
But that this year was so strange. Like he was, but that's only because they knew, I think, that like Owen Wright and Bede would not be back.
Yeah.
Although I've heard that Bede's back in the water. I read that Bede's back in the water.
It's okay if and, you don't read, Ken. You know, it's all right.
No, I know, but it makes it sound like I was talking to like Mick or something.
Oh,
they
I see.
Told me, you know? But I read online that Bede's back in the water, and there's some speculation he may actually make his return at Pipeline.
Who?
Which is where he was injured last year, Bede Durbidge.
Oh, okay.
And just sneak one contest in at the end of the year.
That's a great idea.
Just to start getting ready into the competitive flow.
So who is his replacement?
I mean, it might have been Dusty. It might have been Seabass. It might have been
whatever,
Stuart Kennedy.
Dusty.
There's so many this year, you know? Yeah. I can't keep track of it all.
So here's something else just to keep tipping the hat to the players in our clubhouse. Helmy's Legends.
Yeah.
So he came second in Portugal and remains first overall in our clubhouse. And he is fourth overall in
Whoa.
The entire thing.
Well, good on. I would love to see him win the whole thing. Someone
he can
from our
easily do it.
Represent.
So, exactly. So the thing is, and unlike Pipe, I mean, this is still down to the wire. I mean, unlike the WSL, the actual thing in fantasy, it's down to the wire. So he, in fourth place, has 8,854.
Thanks.
And the top guy has 8,972. Yeah. So you know what I mean? That there's just a bit over 100 points difference between
nice.
Fourth and first, which is a bit of ground to catch up.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I would just urge him, but I mean, you'd have to look too at the throwaways for those top three people to get a real sense of it. But I would urge him,
right.
knowing that if he's got this high, he hasn't been listening to any of our advice.
Yeah.
But I would just
I know.
Reiterate.
It's amazing that we are polluting his.
Yeah.
Like...
I would just absolutely reiterate that you should not take anything we say over the rest of this podcast as any guidance for what you should put on your team. You do you.
Do Perez is what I'm saying, though. And then Prata 2 with he came. What did he come? He came third, and he's second overall.
Oh, I'm stoked that Prata's in our clubhouse because he's a big he's a big
you know
guy in the forums.
Is that
I don't know him, but I know he's a
you
guy
do?
That
yeah.
If it's the same guy I'm thinking of, and I can't imagine there's that many Pratas. He's
he's
he
Prata 2, so
Well, I think he probably did something and got kicked off. Or maybe he has different, I don't know. Anyway, I think he's an interesting commentator on the forum.
Nice. And one thing I wanted to just throw out there in terms of Helmy's Legends, because he is a legend in our clubhouse. What is this name, Helmy's Legends? Get back to us, because Helmy's, like, even if I just Google Helmy's, which is H-E-L-M-Y-S as he spells it, It doesn't deliver any real kind of meaningful results at all. And then I was thinking, though, and what Google wants to do is make it helmets, right?
Oh, okay.
And if he was Australian, you know, also how Australians like to kind of like shorten and abbreviate words all the times, right? So he's like, hey, you going to put on your helmet? Like that, right?
It could be
And Helmy's Legends, and Australians love saying that people are a legend, right? Like, oh, he's a legend. Actually, you know what? That might be more of a British thing, but...
I wonder if...
I think that he is a surfer that rides with a helmet, is what I'm telling you.
I wonder. I was going to assume it was some sort of like Norse... god or something, but
right,
like,
is that right? I thought maybe it was like a platoon in a notable conflict in war, you know what I mean? Like
I'm tempted to try to
those were
Google
like Helmy's,
right?
Helmy's Legend.
Start looking it up,
dude.
But if it was I know what I'm thinking is like, I think Greek and like Hellenic and H-E-L, if it was M-E-S maybe, but
yeah, no, with a Y, H-E-L-M-Y-S, Helmy's Legends.
You know what, man, let us know.
Yeah.
One thing I would say too, as much as, you know, our interest waxes and wanes, there will be a prize for the winner of our clubhouse.
That's right. And it looks like it's going to go to Helmy's Legends. Fins,
well,
I thought it was.
Did I say fins?
You did.
Oh, I was going to give him that wax set of weird fins I bought that time. Yeah, but maybe that's what it'll be.
You know what would be a good gift too, or prize, would be Canadian wax. Like super soft wax that you would never use. But you know what I mean?
He's in Australia.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? But that might be like
a part of
neat little, a little token, you know what I mean? Because but that's the thing. Helmy's Legends, where are you from? Do you, if otherwise, you might just like use it. Hey, since we're on you mentioned forums, this was something else I was going to talk about. Adriano de Souza, okay? So this guy's had, you know, a lackluster, you know, season for sure.
Yeah.
And yet he's still the third most expensive guy on the fantasy picks, right?
Yeah.
Which is so weird. I mean, so how does that work? Any ideas? What do you know about how the values happen?
All I know
up
about
down,
it is that you can
down.
Only become more expensive or less expensive by, I think, 500,000, possibly
at
a million at a time.
Yeah, like if you
like
win the whole
contest.
Thing. Yeah, like supposing you were at 3 million,
yeah,
and you won a contest, you'd go up to 4?
I think the most you could go is by 1 million. And I think where he's gone is he's started the year at like 12.5, if I remember correctly.
Was high.
Like
so
he was higher than anyone is now.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the year, he had a couple of those sort of middle of the road, you know, get to the, you know, a result that would make him just not lose or gain.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm tempted to read what I've got back from people that are on the social social boards here. So like Yentes and Eight Mates, he was saying basically, and we all know this, initial values are determined by the previous year's results. Then things get a little mysterious depending on the results from a just completed competition. Surfers go up and down by a max of 1 million, I think is what he says.
Yeah.
I think 3 million surfers cannot drop, right? Because they're at the bottom, because, wild cards can't move either. The contentious part, and he says Groundswell has never revealed the exact criteria around this. And then some other guy, though, says it seems that surfer values never drop unless the surfer doesn't make the third round. Hmm. So,
I mean, there must be a formula is the only thing I would say. One of the most amazing things I think about, like if you look at the actually improvement to the fantasysurfer.com, the site, is how quickly following the end of a contest, you can jump right back in and start trading.
Yep.
So it's clearly, you know, programming, you know, he's not,
yeah, it's all,
you know,
it's all
Groundswell's
he's
not going,
going
through
like,
and being like, yeah, I'll
guy?
Give him 250,000. This guy gets 500.
Yeah.
It's got to be set. And the computer just does it.
But I think too, that there's a suggestion, and this was actually from, all these names are so weird. Sasha Mistive. Anyway, buddy with the guitar is holding. That it also.
Oh, Sashimi Steve. Oh,
there
dude,
you go.
He's like, yeah, he's. I think.
Yeah, he's one of the main commenters.
Yeah, he's a big talker.
There you go. So I think he's suggesting. I don't want to read it on air now, but that how whether you go up or down can also depends on where you are. So that if you, you know, are already a high value, in order to go up further, you need to do better than just making the third round. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you need to, like, be improving your regular performance. Perhaps.
Right. Or, you know, or even performing more higher than, like, what you're ranked or something. Yeah. Like, for instance, if your performance, like, maybe that could be it, right? If your performance improves your rank, it improves your value.
Yeah. So if you're in the middle and you get... in the middle, but, like, you know, if you're like 15th but you end up 17th or something, yeah, you know, then yeah, it'd be interesting to see how much Kanoa jumped when he got that one sort of freakish win this year.
Yeah, well, where is he at now? It's in front of us.
Well, he's at 5 million now, but I don't remember where he was before that.
It must have been, I guess, 4.
That would, well, that's what I mean, like, I wonder, yeah, if he got the million or if he got like
the 500,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was another. Oh no, Kanoa. It's
but Kanoa.
Kanoa, because it was Keanu Singh that won the not Kanoa.
Oh shit, you're absolutely right. I'm getting totally confused. I'm correcting you on the name, and I don't even know who I'm talking about.
Boom. Yeah, it was Keanu Singh. And look, Keanu Singh is sitting at 350 at 350 mil. So that is odd, isn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah. So he won the whole contest.
By the way, I saw that you put him on. No, wait a minute. Who was it? What did he win the last event? Was that right? No.
No, he won, yeah, France.
You had him on your team, though, in Portugal. I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I was like, oh, maybe he's going, maybe on a bit of a run.
Yeah, a bit of a tear. But I don't think that was the case, was it?
No, I think that was an indication of how poorly I've... Although, you know what? So we talked Portugal. Well, how did you do in Portugal?
I did crap. I don't know. That's interesting. I don't have the results exactly, okay, in front of me. I did okay. Like, I had John, yeah, John.
I did bad in France. That, yeah, was my... Of the three, like, I did good in trestles because I had Jordy and he won.
Yeah.
Did really bad in France. Sub 800.
I was respectable, actually. I don't know. Let's see. I had some interesting guys on my team that did okay. You know what? I can just scroll down right, yeah, here. And yeah, so I had 902.
Oh, that's a good. So bad.
But, like, you know, I had like Kai Otten who did well. And I, you know, I went with Andino, which, yeah, I don't know.
What
do
you think
do
about Philippe Toledo, eh? Like, not like, yeah, for a guy that a lot of press, and he's not really delivering this year.
I had Stu Kennedy, you know, as well, you know. Stu Kennedy.
Like, he's had some good waves, but doesn't seem to be able to put it together.
Well, where was that? Where was that big contest? It was Chopes, where he just kind of choked and really didn't seem into, yeah, it. But he was, I don't,
but
know.
But that's expected. Like, I'm, you know, but he didn't make the breakthrough that people thought he, I mean, like, those three contests back-to-back should have been, yeah, perfect for him. Yeah. He didn't really, you know, he did all right, but.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe he's lost the fire living in Southern California with his, like, 13 relatives.
All right, well, let's go to a segment that I like to call the claim segment. We got to let's just blast through the show here because, like, how long are we going?
Oh my God, we're already long.
Yeah. It's, yeah, well, it's like 40 minutes. So here we go, guys. Let's all get, right, to my, this is one of my favorite
the
segments.
Claim.
Claim it.
Okay, kids, class is in session. Today we're going to learn how to claim your wave. Stop your guessing. There's a million ways to claim. But do you have your own style that's specific to your name? Like the Patriot, you feel it when the time's right. A good claim should have you feeling like you're in the limelight. So whether I pop up on one knee or I'm so deep in the barrel that you can't find me, there's no better time to claim. Just make sure every time that you do it the same.
All right, so that's a wicked song, and that's partially why I even have the segment, just to kind of run that. It's a nice little breakup. But yeah, and so you said Jordy at the top, though. But first, I do want to talk about Philippe Toledo, that it was in, I can't remember, I think it was in France, and he did it almost like a double claim. He pulled a wicked air,
yeah,
right? And just like a full 360 rotor, yeah, and landed just right on the face.
I remember,
face,
yeah.
Claims it, both arms up, and then puts the arms down, just to kind of do like a little foam climb, and then arms go back up again.
Yeah.
Not that like the second move was also claim worthy, but like that he just basically had to interrupt his claiming in order to like to finish the wave.
Yeah.
And then the arms went like right. So he's like, yeah, baby. Like looks to the beach, takes his attention completely away from the wave. And, yeah, then just kind of like, oh, here we go. Boop. Does a little pop and then up again. And so the double claim, I just think that's worthy of the segment. And there was an interesting little conversation that I heard between him and Keanu Singh where, and this was like at the next contest or something, or maybe it's just the next day. But yeah, Keanu Singh basically said, he's like, dude, you could just, if even talking right now, go ahead and claim that wave again. Like, you can just claim it all day. I thought that was like a funny little
because
thing.
It was such a nice,
it was such a nice wave, yeah, that he could just like walk into a coffee shop still claiming. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still claiming this wave. You know, then stir the milk, yeah, into the coffee a little bit and then just continue to claim the wave. Arms up all day, 3 weeks, let's say.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just think it, there's some, I think I think too. I think when the claim is genuine, like when you pull a move like that, that is so beyond the realm of like what would be capable to even some of the best surfers in the world.
Yeah.
Then the claim is justified there. But would it not be even cooler
to
pull that air that big, come down and just right back up, smack, smack, and then just like deadpan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like just another day at the office.
Right. Well, you know that we've been doing
John, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so. The thing is that
later.
That was an involuntary claim. Like, I know that we've categorized the levels of claims.
Well, the first one may have been involuntary, but...
No, but that's the thing. It was still involuntary. You couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's actually interesting, because in my scenario, I wonder if... And this is where you'd have to actually get in their head. Is John consciously thinking, I will never claim?
Yeah,
like, I don't care if I... You know, if I did 3 360s and landed it, I'm... You know, is he like consciously not letting his arm goes up?
Yeah.
Or
he's trained himself not to do it. It's like almost muscle memory, right?
Yeah,
like
perhaps.
To keep the arms down.
Yeah. Or is that his true mentality where he's just so like almost like blunted? Like just like,
yeah.
Yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah. It's like blunted like he's high? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, what someone that might be high for a long time might do. I'm not suggesting he does that. But you know what I mean? Like where you just get to that point where you lose like the highs and lows of emotion. And you're just sort of like...
He's just like... Constantly he's an addict. He needs to do 360s just to be like level.
Yeah, exactly.
And if he doesn't get them, he sinks into a deep depression.
Perhaps. But getting them doesn't, you know... Yeah. Getting them now isn't pushing them to that high...
Sweet.
Those super high highs.
All right, claim number two, this one right here.
Smith, late takeoff, pulls it, packs it nice and deep. He's running for the exit. It spits him out. Jordy Smith doing the impossible, and now he's starting to get excited.
And there's the claim. We love Jordy's claims.
Look at this. Boom, love this claim.
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, so good. I just, the way that he, because it's the same thing where he claims with the arms down first.
Yeah.
Like, you know, first of all, I mean, if you haven't seen the wave, unbelievable drop. This is fourth. No, this is the semifinal.
Yeah, like drops out of the sky, sticks it, deep barrel.
Pumping in the barrel. Yeah. And it's just running and running and running and running and running. And then just gets out the tiniest little doggy door. And then arms down, looks kind of to just sort of like nowhere. Holds that for a second, and then whoo, and the arms go up like this, like the Jesus on the mountain, whatever,
it's
you know what
true.
I mean? Like not fully, not arms all the way out, like a little raise, more like a Y, you know what I mean? But just like wham, like that. And but the gaze never moves, and when they slow it down in the replays, there's just something like in, like he's got this like
seriousness.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah, and you know, if we want to get deep into analyzing claims, what I would say is what struck me with that particular claim, that Jordy's been known to claim a lot in the past, but he's been known, at least in my mind, for goofy claims.
Mock claim.
Yeah. So, you know, hands up, a little, I don't know, almost like, it's not a curtsy, but
yeah,
it's
I
like,
know what you mean. Like, he is a like bow with bowing, a little hand roll.
Yeah. I mean, he's done those, you know, he's done the double hand bow.
Yeah.
This, though, the facial expression made me, there's something more going on.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I had paid more attention to the last three contests, I might know what it was. I mean, was he one of the guys that caught up in the judging trestles or?
Yeah, he's had a tough time like that. His story, as it's always been, but again, this season is that he's not getting the key wins when he needs them and he does seem to want them. Right. And then even in this contest, I mean, so I don't think it was a foregone conclusion that John had it yet.
Nope.
And so he was actually kind of the last person in the title conversation. So that's the thing, like, because Medina was out of the conversation before Jordy. So Jordy was still in, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that all changed with John John's win. So maybe that was,
and with
was
Connor,
part of it.
That's one thing, man. Like, Connor didn't have as much of an impact this year as I hoped he would throughout the course of the year.
Yeah.
But what an impact at the end.
Right. Why? Who did he eliminate?
Well, he eliminated, I think he eliminated, like, who was it in? It was in the heat before. Like, the heat that Connor won is what gave John the title.
Right.
So I'd have, you know, I forget
like
who it was.
Well, did he beat Medina then or something like that?
No, I think Medina was already out. Bring it up. I'm curious.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Because I think we actually have that contest.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing. Because it was like, it might have even been Connor and Jordy.
Well, Connor eliminated Pupo in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, go to the semis.
Okay. Semifinals coming up, and John eliminated Andino. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was. So that's what it was.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Connor took out Jordy
with
a huge wave right at the end.
Yeah, that's
right. And had
he
not got
that's
then it would have went to the final.
Yeah, that's right. And then if Smith had beat John in the final, would that have been enough to push it to Pipe? The
thing it would too have is, been, yeah. John would have had to win at that point.
And that's the thing, too, is that with...
Which he probably would have.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that even if it technically goes to Pipe, you know, it would have been probably that Jordy would have to win and John would have to be eliminated in the first
two
rounds.
Exactly.
Whatever, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I have... This is actually a thought experiment that I want to throw out there because there's been some talk that... There's something broken with the system when it goes to... You can move that microphone around. It's not going to make any noise.
No, it's just jiggling.
Yeah, okay. Am I shaking it a little bit?
I think you're excited.
I am. So, that it's there's something wrong that it's decided before Pipe. Like, that shouldn't happen, right? That, you know, and it's, there's so much time, too, between now, like, between the last contest and Pipe.
Yeah.
When it's, you know, that there's... that why can't the WSL just figure out how to make it so that it's still viable? So here's the clause... that I would put in, okay? This would tell me if you think this is a good idea. Okay, right? So, technically, John, like on points, cannot be beaten in Pipe. No one is able to do it, even if John is eliminated in the first round, second round.
Yeah.
And his the person that's right behind him, which in this case was Medina. Or is it... Oh, my God. Or is it Jordy? It could be Jordy. I think it is Jordy. So, it can't happen, right? But you put a clause in where whoever is in second place, okay, going into Pipe...
Yeah.
Can take the title if they win Pipe.
Interesting.
And that's it. So that's always there, right? So no matter what happens, so even if...
So it only applies to the second place
person. It only applies to the second place person, who presumably has been doing well all season, that this would be the rivalry or whatever, like this guy, you know, so that's kind of like a consolation prize to the person in this scenario where you've come in second, so unless you win it, it goes to John, but it's not guaranteed. And there are a few problems with it. And one thing that I would put in on top of it is that supposing that let John, so supposing that this rule is in place, right? Supposing that John is eliminated early at Pipe for some reason and Jordy goes all the way to win the contest, there's still one more heat. And that's John and Jordy. So you have to go through win
Pipe. I'm with you now. I wasn't with you, but
you have to go through
and
win Pipe. Yeah. Okay. And then after that, so John, if he wanted, because he already, like, you know, almost has a title, he could be like, you know what? I'm not even going to surf Pipe, but if you make the finals, I'm going to wax up and I'm going to go out there and defend my title. I mean, that might not be strategically a good idea, but isn't that a great idea?
I honestly think that is a great idea.
Because it would then keep... Because the thing is, right, is then the discussion becomes leading up to Pipe, can Jordy win Pipe? And it's just about that.
And he's beat him at that point two ways. Because, you know, he's beat him by doing better in that particular
contest.
Yeah, that's right. Which he would have had to do.
Yeah, if Jordy is...
And then he would have to beat him a second time. One-on-one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, too, is that they may not face each other, right?
Yeah.
In the first... And so that's the thing, too. It guarantees that they face each other for extra drama.
Yeah.
And also, it's a little fairer to the person that's in first place. Like, because it's like, hey, man... You know, this isn't quite fair that you're allowing sort of like an extra reward for winning this one contest.
Yeah.
When, you know, because he could have won like three contests and Jordy or one.
That's like the Scott Bass plan where you have like masters that are worth more.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly, right. So
how do you know whether the masters are really going to get better waves?
That's right.
Where it falls apart.
Indeedy. So in this case, what happens is that, you just have to have that. So what a trial that is for whoever wants to do that, right?
Yeah.
You got to win the event straight up and then you got to surf one more heat. Against the first place guy.
I like it.
Yeah.
Like it a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet. I want to know something else that I've heard or just like quick little throwaway things before we sort of sign off. I'm noticing, tell me if this strikes you as familiar.
Two things are going to happen in the next 90 seconds.
Excuse me.
First, that phone over there is going to ring. Second, you're going to be wearing these cuffs. On your way to prison.
Well, that is one magnificent prophecy, Mr. Reacher.
Ken, why am I playing this trailer for this movie? This is the Jack Reacher.
I don't know. You're trying to impress my father who likes to read those books?
Is that right? I don't even know. What books are they based on? There's a series called Jack Reacher?
Yeah. He's a recurring character in a series of novels.
There you are. Well, so the
novels
second,
might be a bit much.
Second installment of the film has been coming out recently, and the advertising has been on the WSL broadcast.
Oh.
I think it's significant because this is more of like a mass market type thing. You know, like, yeah. You know, and so other commercials that I've seen are Sleep Country. Sleep Country is now advertising on the WSL. To me, that's a win for the WSL in a way.
Is Sleep Country an international brand?
It is, actually, because I was Googling it, and Sleep Country wants to push me to Sleep Country Canada. Yeah, like they're only like targeting advertisements at Canadian viewers. I don't think so, because Sleep Country, it does have a U.S. presence, and I think that the Jack Reacher movie, of course, would be international.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that it does seem like that's good for the WSL, that they're getting not only new advertisers, but more general advertisers, right? That these are people, like if I'm Sleep Country, I'm like, well, I guess surfers need to sleep too, so I'm going to sell them a mattress rather than what most of the advertising is, which is more surf targeting.
Yeah.
Like to me, it speaks to perhaps a growing general appeal of surf contests. You know, because it would make more sense for like a surf brand to advertise on a surf broadcast, right?
I mean, you might be right, but God, I find it hard to believe, man.
That Sleep Country would be broadcasting internationally?
No, or just that,
or that the reach
that
of
any company
surfing.
Would think that the, you know what? I know how we can get more people to buy our stuff. Let's put our ads on the 7-hour long surf contest. But, you know, maybe there's probably demographic
research. It's probably
research.
A cheap buy. Maybe it's a cheap buy and they're like, let's throw out some like weird, I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe mattress companies are just getting so desperate because every podcast has those other mattresses advertised on it.
Yeah, really. Hey,
my next mattress is going to come in the mail.
Casper?
I'm not going to friggin' store.
Yeah. The size of a mini fridge. Yeah.
Sponsor us, Casper. You sponsor everyone else. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we haven't really asked anybody to sponsor
Well,
us.
Why not start? You know?
Right. Is there
you'll only have to buy one every 3 months.
Any
I got
notes?
Lots of stuff.
Do
man.
You have notes?
Yeah. Okay. Like, I'll try to get through them quick. This time of year, I like to talk who's on the bubble, right? Because that's what's interesting about Hawaii.
Yeah.
So,
get through this.
Yeah. I'll try to go through it quickly. But just for the people, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you already know. But you know, this is the time of year where we come down to the final QS contest that'll help end the final, the single final WSL contest at Pipe that will determine who's actually on tour next year. And that becomes, so the people that end up on tour next year, it's the top 22 from the WSL. So the top 22 out of the 34, plus the top 10 from the QS, assuming there aren't double qualifiers, someone that's in the top 22 on the WSL. So,
wait a second.
And
I
also
was just,
in the top
drifted off again. Slow down. So the top 22 on the CT qualify automatically.
Automatically. They're on tour next
year. Right. And let's just be clear. There are 36 surfers that go in.
Yes.
So then another, the top 10 QS go in, bringing it to a total then of 32, right?
Yeah.
And so that leaves room for four more.
Yeah, then
and
there's so, two wild cards, on two permanent wild cards that are like your injury wild cards.
Right.
Which arguably this year would probably be like B.
But if they're
Owen.
Injury wild cards, then aren't they just filling up spaces that are already losing out of the 32 that number that we had established?
No, they just reserve those spots because every year there's people that get like injured to get back on.
Right.
And is it? It's a
Do you know what I'm
top 34
saying?
Though. It's not the top 36. It's 36 at every contest because there's also contest wild cards.
Oh, right. So,
but core of surfers, 34.
Right.
22, 10, two injury wild cards.
Right. But what I'm saying, though, is that if you have if the injury wild cards are there to replace injured surfers who are on the CT.
No. The injury wild card is someone that was so injured they couldn't compete for most of this year.
Oh.
But it's felt that they still deserve to be on tour the following year.
Really? Yeah. Oh, so that would be like,
so like Bede and Owen if they're in good shape.
Right, right. Oh, I see. Right, so because they were on the tour, but they got injured.
Yeah. And in the
so
past, that's how Michel Berez got back on.
Right.
Like he had, you know, that's how Micro Hall got his second World Tour season.
Right.
Because he breaks his back at Chopes.
Hmm. And so basically it has to be, and so if there are more than two injured surfers, how does that work?
But
too?
The interesting,
how does that work?
It's a vote.
What if you're, it's a vote. Because you could be, someone could be injured for longer than others too.
And, yeah, and some people might, you know, I don't really know how it goes down.
Yeah,
but I mean, I don't find the injury stuff that interesting.
No. In my mind, I've got it clear. Now you go ahead and talk about who's on the
What's bottom. Interesting are the people that might get knocked off, like the big names.
Right.
So,
and these
Jack
are people
Freestone.
Who are not. Yeah. Yeah. Cause, and has he been backing up?
He hasn't been backing. Well, he has been, but he's not
doing
presently
well
in
that?
The top 10 in the QS. He's around like 16th. Keep in mind, one win at any of these QS.
Is that how you
back
up? Is that
10.
How you back up? Like that you have to have a top 10 finish on the QS in order to back up at all?
Yeah, because if you don't have to have a top 10 finish. You have to be like competing on the QS while you compete on the World Tour.
And be in the top 10?
And be in the top 10 of that. So if you don't do good enough on the World Tour, you get in as if you had never been
you
on
know,
the World
I
Tour
thought
at
that
all.
They just were adding, like that you just pick up like a few extra points in a QS contest.
No.
You actually have to do well the whole QS.
Yeah, so you have to compete in
and
enough
be in the
of those.
Top 10.
Yeah, but holy the good, the thing that makes it a little easier to do that is because once you're on the WSL, you get highly ranked into the WQS.
So it's easy to
so you don't start at the first like round of 280 or whatever it is,
oh,
you know?
Right. Yeah,
you get seeded in. And
but
like,
there are so many QS events, too.
Yeah, there are.
And so, are people backing up, are they actually surfing at most of those events?
They'd be like targeting like the 6,000 point ones, and like the most highly valuable ones.
Okay.
But like, yeah, so like Freestone's been doing that, but he needs performances in Hawaii to get back on tour.
Right.
I got to talk about Matt Banting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the inspirations why we got in the podcasting game, David Scales,
love
his
Banting.
Golden boy.
Yeah.
Banting's looking like he's not going to make tour next year.
I think that Scales has moved on.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I can't let it go. And Jeremy Flores looks like he might get knocked off, but he's actually in the top 10 on the QS rankings.
Right.
So he could get back on
through
the back
door. And are the last two QS events are going right now that make up the Triple Crown.
Yeah, exactly. So there's
so why am I not seeing, by the way, because I was looking at this. For instance, like, yeah, the Hawaii Pro in Oahu there. Man, they got 98 surfers. Like, I was looking at all the surfers that are 98, but none of them are CT surfers. Do they get added later or something like that? Like, I don't see their names.
They get seeded into like two or three rounds down the road.
Right.
Which also means if you want, there's a thread going on.
I probably didn't just go further enough down the line then in terms of the rounds.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you went further down, you'd see that like,
there they are just waiting to like crush all these
there's
QS
There's a thread
guys.
Going on the message board there where I think it's like... Keanu is saying, anyway, it's like the whatever round he gets seeded into, he automatically gets 1,000 points, and that would put him in the top 10. So he'd be fine to get on through the QS if he didn't do good at pipeline and get on through the WSL.
So so Flores is in the top 10 in the QS right now.
It was funny. This was actually, I thought this would be interesting.
Would it be even worth it to like,
podcasting.
No, this is good. But would it be worth it to like at some point, if you're already doing so poorly on the CT, to drop out of CT events to focus on the QS?
Yeah, I mean, there'd be an argument to be made.
You know,
but I don't think
that
you're
would
allowed,
be such bad form.
You're not allowed to drop out of WSL events without having an injury or you get fined.
Oh.
Because that's happened to like Kelly. That's why when Kelly doesn't want to go to a contest.
What about Mick Fanning?
Mick Fanning got the like shark dispensation where it was like special. But he qualified straight up.
So he's claiming PTSD and then can only surf certain events?
Well, he told
them. That doesn't make any sense because if you can't surf one, then you can't surf them all.
It is
a psychological issue.
Maybe there's something to do with how much notice you give them, but I know if you just no-show, you get fined.
Yeah.
Because Kelly's done that.
Huh. Well, I wonder,
Kelly's done it both ways.
You know, maybe that's what it is because then they're not giving an opportunity to someone else to fill a spot.
Yeah, maybe that's the punishment.
But I know that we've talked about this before that I would think that the WSL generally would frown upon people only surfing half season,
and it'll be
because what does it say about the sport if you can carry on and not have to do all the events? Like, you know, it makes each event then seem less meaningful.
It's true.
If people don't even have to surf them all,
it would be funny if John didn't bother to surf pipe. If John went totally off the rails and just like partied so hard that he was like, "I'm not even surfing pipe, brah. I'm just hanging it."
And here's my notice so that you don't find me. But no, apparently he said that he wants to win the Triple Crown for the
third
time.
I'm surprised he's not out in. He's not surfing Jaws, man.
By the way, guess when what year was the last time that it was not decided at pipe? Take a guess.
4 years ago.
Yeah, 2011. You were close.
Nice. Hey,
bubble people. Anyone else?
No, Leonardo Floriavanti will is leading the QS and will make the tour next year.
Right. So who on the CT now is not going to be here next year?
Oh, man, I didn't do the whole list, but, like, Nat Young's looking like he's in trouble. Keanu Asing might not make it. Dusty Payne, who wasn't on tour, but then could have made the most of those injury tours. It's looking like he might be off.
The Japanese-American fellow, the Keanu Kanoa.
Kanoa? I didn't look him
off.
Up.
I think he might get off.
Because
the thing is, he only gets 13 and better, right? So, like, I have a feeling that just doing that is not enough. Oh, you're going to check. Oh, is Igarashi doing the...
Oh, yeah, no. So I'm wrong. Kanoa Igarashi.
You got to talk into the mic there, Ken.
Oh, yeah. Kanoa Igarashi. Oh, my God. No. You know what?
Ken's not wearing headphones, so... No, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing that you even coast through this whole thing without hearing yourself.
It's true. Kanoa Igarashi is leading the QS, so he's fine. Leonardo Floriavanti, and then some Aussie guys I never heard of. Conor O'Leary.
So there you are, Igarashi, number one.
Yeah. This guy's supposed to be good. Bino Lopez from Brazil. I caught him in a bit of a QS earlier. He might make it. But this could change. Because like you said, if one of these guys, if you scroll down further, who are sort of between 10 and 20, If they win one of these, you know, QS contests, they'll be in the top. So yeah, there's like Kalanen. He's an example of someone in Flores who are on the tour who've also been doing the QS.
And there you are. Yeah, Freestone too. So they just need big wins.
Freestone like got like a final at Sunset. He'd be all right.
Oh, you know what? This actually makes those events more interesting to watch.
Yeah, and it will be good as you start seeing the broadcast. And I am going to try to, you know, get back into it. And like the Hawaii time zone is a good one because the contests sort of start around 2 p.m.
That was another problem about it too with like the last contest.
Yeah, it's true.
You know. I like how the abbreviation of Brazil is bra.
Bra.
Yeah, bra.
Yes, bra.
Oh, one more thing about dialects then. Who's the female commentator that everybody loves?
Rosie Hodge.
She was interviewing Joel Parkinson.
Yeah.
And she, I love how she talks like this.
Yeah.
And she was saying, you know, Joel, you've got your... You know, your surfing is so dialed in. Your equipment is all dialed in. And right now it seems like your family life is all dialed in.
What?
And I was like, dialed in? Like, dude, I just love how, like, you use surfing terminology and apply it to, like, other sort of real life
situations. Yeah, your family's dialed in.
You've really got... Because you know what I mean? Like, I guess he's having fun with his family on tour, right? You know? So he's got
No, and I was getting confused. I was thinking of Mick, who I think... Who's married?
No, his family's not dialed in. But I just love that. It's like, yeah, man, I've got my family really dialed in. Like that, it's just like
I gotta use that more. Yeah, how are you?
Get your family dialed in, man.
You know, that's a good segue to the very last point I wanted to make because it is. While I wasn't super interested in the contest as of late, the best surf video that's ever been made was released while we were on our hiatus.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you've heard of it or seen it, but it was called Let's Be Frank.
Yeah,
it's about the South African surfer, Rosie Hodge.
Is it free? Can I just watch it online for free?
It was free for a week on Red Bull TV. And then what everyone thought was that it was then going to be put on iTunes, but I think it did so successful, Red Bull TV then yanked it down. And I checked the site today because I wanted to be sure of this, but they're going to put it back on Red Bull TV on the site December 26th, presumably to like capitalize. So yeah, mark your calendars. This guy is South African, you know, big wave surfer. It's, you know, based on Wes Anderson films, the style of it. There's actually very little surfing in it, but it is it's the best surfing movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Hands down. And I just mark your calendars, December 26th.
Also, before we sign off, I'm going to just give a little bonus content.
Please.
So after we sign off, I did an interview with a gentleman called Francisco Pimentel, and he is a Brazilian who runs a website called fantasysurfingtips.com. And he is an avid listener of the podcast, and he actually has produced a website that is a resource for people who want to play around with their teams.
Cool.
It's actually pretty interesting. I don't talk to him in the interview much about how it works because it is kind of boring, and so maybe I shouldn't bore it with you now. But but essentially what it does is that you can like load surfers in or a team, but then you can move things around. So if you say you want to wait, supposing you say, okay, here's what I've got, but I don't want any friendly fire in the first round. If you put that button, it will adjust your team so that it'll like pull people out who are friendly fire automatically and put other people
in.
Yeah, like and make a suggestion, right?
Oh.
But then you can also wait. So supposing you say, and I also want to wait past performance at this venue in previous years, and then you like click that over and then it'll insert other surfers. Like it makes suggestions.
Did he put in a selection where you can say I want no Brazilians?
No, I don't know if there's nationality. So that's the thing. So it's
just joking, buddy.
Yeah, dude, this guy is super awesome. And the thing is, so check out the website because I don't get into details about the website in the interview, but it's fantasysurfingtips.com. It is geared toward the WSL.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's kind of interesting. It's just a way to kind of toy around.
Oh, but geared towards the WSL version of fantasy.
That's right, but it's still the same thing. Like you know what I mean? Like you load your eight people, and then
That's true. So it's still function to,
but it's just kind of has like a WSL sort of lean to it or whatever. But I was interested in speaking with him because he is a Brazilian, and there is a lot of interest around Brazilian people generally in terms of their influence on surfing now. So hear that at the end of it. But until next time, we'll just sign it off. Okay.
Yeah. Bye.
Sleep Country, there are so many beds to choose from. People come in all shapes and sizes and can have all types of sleep issues, like a sore back, pins and needles, tossing and turning, trouble falling asleep, not to mention sleeping with your spouse, or perhaps some little kids and a four-legged friend. What you might not know is different mattresses are designed to help with different sleep problems. That's why Sleep Country has so many beds to choose from.
Hello, Francisco.
Hi, Blair.
Is that, am I pronouncing your name right, Francisco?
Yes, yes. In a, like, English way of speaking, yes, it's right.
Right on, man. Your English is really good.
Thank you, man. I wish it would be better.
So, listen, I want to, you know, you guys just had the Olympics and, you know, the World Cup before that. What's the mood now in Brazil? Are you guys sort of like in Olympics hangover now? Or is it a bit of a bummer?
Yes, a little bit of Olympics hangover, but Olympics had brought this great spirit for us. Like right now, I really can see a lot of people practicing sports on the street, like a little more than before. And I don't know, it's good, it's great. Taking off politics is really, really bad here right now.
Yeah.
Sports mood is great.
Is that really, definitely. So are people maybe using sports as a distraction?
Yeah, it can be. Like, surfing has grown a lot here in Brazil right now, and really a lot of people in the water.
Well, because we hear about, you know, the Brazilian storm in, you know, English media all the time. What's the discussion around the Brazilian storm in Brazilian media?
Well, I would definitely say that Brazilian media is all about Gabriel Medina. Really, like other surfers, they have a great difficulty here to get attention. At least in my opinion, Adriano de Souza, the world title he won last year, hasn't brought the great media as Gabriel Medina. And so, people have talked more about Gabriel Medina than Adriano de Souza, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's understandable, I guess, because he was the first Brazilian, right, to win the world title.
Sure.
And he got the Olympic torch snub too, Adriano. He didn't get to carry the torch.
Yeah. Well, I thought they could have invited the boat. Like, there would be no problem about it. But yeah, like, Gabriel Medina is the media man. It's fun. It's different.
So when he does English interviews, he kind of seems somewhat awkward. Is he a smooth talker in Portuguese?
Well, normally he speaks very well in Portuguese, but he definitely like doesn't speak well English, really.
Yeah. But is he sort of humble or bashful? Like he almost seems a bit shy. I don't know. He's not really. He doesn't seem to be very enthusiastic.
Well, I would say that taking the Brazilian surfers, for me, the one that speaks better is Felipe Toledo, and this guy's really like. Speaks really, really great. Gabriel Medina doesn't speak very, I don't know how to say, but he doesn't have this talent, you know, like to be a great speaker. I think he can learn this, but at the moment, not so good, not the best.
And so what about Philippe? Because he is such an awesome surfer too. Does he also live in the shadow? He lives in the shadow of Medina?
Well, I would say he lives in a little bit in the shadow right now. Felipe Toledo can bring more attention because he's really young, I guess, and he has these like crazy moves in the water with really like Toledo freak show the way he surfs, and this brings a lot of attention, and that's great to see. The media loves it, but I think he got to win a world title to beat Gabriel Medina, at least to bring it to a battle.
Yeah, you know, that's what people say. You know, sort of in the West, I guess, is that there's this idea that for Brazil, winning is everything. Is that fair?
Man, that's funny. Like, we really like sports, and sports battles for us are really great. And people here really like to cheer. Like, it's really funny and different the way we cheer. Like, if we have a Brazilian in the water, we will cheer for the Brazilian, like no matter what the other surfer is, we always cheer for the Brazilian.
No matter
what. So we have, like, no matter what the other surfer is, like, if you really like the other surfer or if it is a great surfer, people here will cheer for the Brazilian, you know, like they will always choose the Brazilian guy.
How did people react in Brazil to the Medina loss so early in the last contest?
Well, that... A lot of people talking about it. Really, a lot of people calling me on the phone. Guess you know what happened. And I don't know, people here are really upset about it.
So right tell me about that. People are calling you on the phone. What's your role in the surf community down there?
Well, like here in, at least in my city, people really knows me and knows that I'm running the website and I know a lot of stuff. And I'm always like posting things on Facebook and stuff about surf. And then friends and like close people to me, they always come to me to ask about those kind of stuff. Like, man, what happened? Why Medina lost that heat and why that wave didn't get so many points? Those kind of stuff.
Now, before I want to get to your website, but I will ask you one question since we're on general topics. General topics,
okay.
And I know you're gonna. These are all feel like critical questions. They're not. It's just because we have all these stereotypes of Brazilians where we are. You know, I've never surfed with a Brazilian in my life, so I have no idea. But you know, if you read other surf media, they often talk about how like obnoxious Brazilian surfers are if they get together in packs out in the water. Is that do Brazilians know they have this reputation?
Well, I don't know if Brazilians know they have this reputation, but what I know, like Brazilians, like the crowd here in the surf, like people are always like getting waves, getting back really quick and getting another wave, you know. I don't know if this is the way like people surf outside of, like in other parts of the world.
Have you ever surfed outside of Brazil?
No, never. Like some friends have been in surf trips outside of Brazil and they say that people are like softer, you know, like they get one wave and they get back in the lineup and they wait a little bit to get another wave. And like, at least for what I see here is that Brazilians, they always get a wave, get back to the lineup. If the wave comes, they get another wave in front of everyone, you know, it's difficult.
Well, it sounds like you're describing exactly how other guys describe it too, but you know, but that's the thing is that it's just a different mentality, right? That
yeah, it's a different mentality, and I would say that at least in my city, we don't have lots of point breaks, and then that makes it difficult because the wave like breaks in different points, and then you gotta watch out where it is breaking to catch the wave. So lots of surfers they kind of paddle hard to the point that is breaking right now to get the wave. And then they go on this battle, like going from one side to the other, getting the best position and stuff. I think that if we had more point break waves, we could have another mentality, you know.
That's interesting, right? That you're, you know, because at point breaks, I mean, you can just have this really defined lineup, and it's really clear who's next. But
yeah,
maybe
yeah,
not
yeah.
so much, eh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So tell me about where you are and where you surf. And you know, we'll leave off on a personal note. What's going on in your life surf-wise?
Well, right now my city? You mean this?
Yeah, sure.
Well, like if you get to compare to the surfers in the WSL right now, Italo Ferreira is the one that lives nearer my place, nearer my city.
Yeah, that's okay. Where does he live?
He lives in, I think he lives in Bahia Formosa, in the state of Natal. And I live in Recife. It's near, but a little far. It's in the same region of Brazil. Brazil is continental, like Canada.
So do you live near the beach?
It's huge. I live near the beach. It takes me 40 minutes to go to the surf spot in my city.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's great. I go there almost every weekend. That's amazing.
Nice. And are you a good surfer?
Well, nah. I wish I would be a better surfer because I have started surfing really late. I haven't surfed in my teenagerhood. And then that's difficult, man. Surfing is a difficult sport.
Yeah, it's hard to pick up late in life. I'm the same way, actually.
Yeah. So we are in the same boat. And then I try to go every weekend. I'm progressing, but far from being a great surfer.
Well, that I guess that means you'll never be great because that's what's been that's what happened to me. You know, I kept thinking I was going to make this breakthrough. You know, and basically I'm just struggling to stay the same at this point.
Okay, so maybe I'm still the same. No problem.
No.
Surfing
you
is great.
You're younger, yeah. Man. You must be like in your 20s.
Yes, I'm 27 right now. Almost in my 30s.
Nice. All right. Well, I'm 38. So just say a few things about how people can reach you and what they want to know in terms of what you want them to see.
Well, people can reach me on Twitter. I think it's Fan Surfing Tips. I think it's this, Fan F-A-N Surfing Tips. Because Twitter doesn't let me put a greater like nickname, like Fantasy Surfing Tips.
Okay, and the website is Fantasy Surfing Tips.
FantasySurfingTips.com. There you can find my tweet, like the Twitter of Fantasy Surfing Tips as well.
Yeah.
I try to reach almost everyone that gets in contact.
Right on. Well, and I think some of our listeners might do both leagues anyway, so it's been a great conversation, and thank you very much.
Great, Blair. I thank you as well.
It's been great having you on the podcast. Take it easy.
Welcome, guy.